Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Today on Marvel Movie News, we are going to be breaking down the breaking story that Kevin Feige might be doing a movie for Star Wars. Plus, news on Madam Web, Ghost Rider might be canceled, and a bunch more today on Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Good afternoon to you, our merry Marvelites. Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back to you.
Yeah, welcome back to you.
It's good to see you guys. And by you guys, I mean the audience.
Yeah, it's not good. We've already seen this.
Christian and Zia are here too, I guess.
Sure.
Thank you for guys for holding down the fort. I missed this. I can't believe I was gone for 2 weeks.
I know.
I can't believe you were
what
either.
What did you do? Did you just talk to your family about Marvel and annoy them like the entire trip?
A little bit.
Nice.
It's the weird thing. It's like when you're in Disney World, because some people know that's where I went for a big family 90th birthday.
That's so cool.
My family.
Which is crazy because you don't look a day over 75.
Nice.
Ba-dum-ching. Nice. They're like in Disney, like Disneyland has Marvel stuff running around in it now, and that's where they're building Avengers Campus and everything. We talked about a little bit, but Disney World, except for the tiniest bits of merchandise like pins and stuff, no sign of Marvel anywhere on the property. Well, they can't because Universal still has those theme park rights.
The Islands of Adventure. There's some good Marvel stuff over
but,
there.
But yeah, I couldn't make it over this time. But it's just like it's so funny to like go to Disney and. What are you talking about, Marvel? We don't know what you're talking about. Go back to California. But yeah, we got a whole bunch of news today, guys. News was just Kevin Feige. The DailyBugle.net is finally a place you can go on the internet, and there are things there.
There's stuff on there. I saw the stuff.
Breaking news today about some more stuff that Sony is developing with their now completely separate Spider-Man universe, different from Spider-Verse. You have to clarify, because Spider-Verse is its own subsection of that. Although maybe with this news today, it's the same thing.
Maybe.
We'll discuss. Plus some Disney Plus things and Ghost Rider news that is very sad, but we'll get into that. And with that, some news about Hellstrom as well. Should we start with Feige? So, for those of you who may not have heard the news, it was just announced yesterday that Kevin Feige, the head honcho of Marvel Studios, is going to be, with all the free time that he has, developing a movie for Star Wars. Literally just like he's walking across the hall on the Disney lot.
Do you think he's just going to be like running back and forth being like, Marvel, Star Wars?
Well, that's the big question. Yeah. Obviously, there's good reason why Disney wants Feige to make a Star Wars movie. He is, I think by numbers, the most successful producer of all time.
Jeez Louise.
If he's not, he's in the top five.
He has to be.
At this point. Because in 10 years, he's made, what is it, somewhere around $25 billion?
Oh my God. I mean, that makes sense. That's so much
money. But there is literally, we were just having conversations about a month ago.
By the way, he's number one. He has 27 movies, so he's top grossing. So this isn't the numbers.
He is
indeed number one.
Thank you for checking.
Jerry Bruckheimer's fourth. And I'm just like considering how many movies. Well, you know
who's number two?
Kathleen Kennedy.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and in case you're wondering, number three is Frank Marshall. So anyway,
oh my God, they're at two and three. That's a power couple if I've ever heard of one. So really, they're together. Collectively, they're number one.
Right.
And but either way.
Disney's the top five because of how many movies Jerry Bruckheimer's made for them.
So, fair enough.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, so this is, we were literally talking a month ago about Kevin
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Feige, Disney decided that Kevin Feige didn't have enough time to work on different movies. And granted, Star Wars, so they still own it.
Yeah.
Right.
But is he too is he stretched too thin to switch over to do another movie franchise?
Like, do you think that he's stretched too thin if he tries to do both?
Should we be worried?
I mean, that's a good question. Or are things just going to take a little bit longer? I would personally wait for things to take a little bit longer if it meant better quality of content and things that you're getting. Sure, mm-hmm. That's fine. But I mean, I don't know. I think that having him work on both isn't necessarily a bad idea, but that's a lot.
Well, I also wonder, is it a one-off? Is it a Star Wars movie?
Right.
Or is it like this Star Wars movie now and then, you know, six other Star Wars movies over the next decade? And
the quote said a Star Wars.
That's
He's
what
developing
I saw.
A Star Wars
right.
movie.
So
could
I could
be the first of many. We don't
right.
know.
And I could see that. Or maybe it's just they want him to kind of set the tone for whatever this one is. It's like, yeah, and then we'll do some more.
Maybe he's going in to work on the Benioff and Weiss trilogy.
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
I mean, here's the thing. Feige is not directing
right.
these movies. He's not a director. Although, if he ever did one, I would be the first in line. Like, whatever he wanted to do, I'd be like, yeah.
I'll watch it.
Give him the money.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's not... So he's not on set every day with any of these projects. Like, look, there's a dozen Marvel projects in development at some point. There's so much that I feel like he can't possibly be hands-on with all of them. The question is, does he take the same amount of control with all of them and, like, it's just a lesser amount and that frees him up for Star Wars? Or is this him being like, my underlings know their roles. They'll report back to me. I'm gonna go make a Star Wars.
I mean, that could easily be the thing where he's like, I've set you guys on this path. You know what to do. You just stick with this formula and what we're doing, and it's working. And so then he doesn't have to necessarily, maybe, I don't know if he micromanages. I have no idea what that side of it looks like. But
I mean, to me, it's like, at this point, the MCU is going to be fine if he's not day-to-day. If you think about it in terms of the way the movies are all interconnected, a lot of TV shows, the person who creates it, the showrunner, they do kind of take a step back after a while. He's got a lot of people in charge that he trusts. And, you know, if they're going to mess it up too much, somebody's going to bring it to his attention. Like, yeah, I don't think this is a good idea. You know, but he's still with the company. So maybe he just wants to do something different, or maybe they are transitioning him away. I think if for some reason he were to do less, or maybe not the MCU at all, I think the MCU is going to be fine. And like you were bringing up earlier, Zach, it makes perfect sense whether, like, we don't need you helping Sony with stuff that doesn't really benefit us as directly as Star Wars
that was,
does.
Well, that's what Sony said Disney's reasoning was.
Yeah.
That's the official line of defense from Sony. I would love to see what Feige has to do with Star Wars. Like, we talk about Marvel all the time, but I love Star Wars. That's where I went. I made a lightsaber last week, guys.
Made one?
Yeah, you built
one. Where's mine?
You have to go build one yourself.
Zach!
You can't build a lightsaber. Someone else can't build your lightsaber
like
before you see it.
It's like $200.
No, yeah. I was going to say the nerd reason. Like, it's a religious experience.
Yeah,
you
have to.
Like, that's part of becoming a Jedi. You have to build your own lightsaber.
Do you know how long it's going
to
be before I can go?
Well,
one now.
I just drank blue milk because it was like $8. That's where my money went.
Oh, man, I got trashed on a fuzzy tauntaun. That's not even a joke. That really happened.
I see in the booth that our friend Ryan, who is producing the show, has a question for the panel.
Major question. So we're starting a new Star Wars daily news show. Steph Sabra, fan of the show, and me.
Yes.
Never heard of her.
So we had a quick question just regarding this matter.
Please.
You know, so the news report says a major actor that Kevin Feige wants to be in Star Wars, like, he's been in talks with them. If that major actor was by chance Tom Holland, what kind of a flex would that be? on their part to say he can't be Spider-Man, but wow, the actor he's talking to is Tom Holland for Star Wars.
I mean,
Wars.
He'll still be Spider-Man. He's going to be Spider-Man in another movie.
Yeah,
he's under contract.
He's under contract with Sony. He still likes playing Spider-Man. Yeah. He's even publicly stated that he has every intention to remain.
He's also not an idiot. You know, I mean, he's like, I'll be Spider-Man and, I don't know, Jimmy Skywalker or whatever the other role would be.
Who cares?
I think he'd love to do both, but I don't see him stopping being Spider-Man just because, he doesn't get to stop being Spider-Man, even if he didn't want to.
But also,
he still has to be Spider-Man for another movie.
But also, look at who are the main actors in Star Wars right now. Daisy Ridley is doing plenty of other work. Maybe not, she doesn't have kicked off like another necessarily franchise recently, but nothing's stopping her from doing that. She's just choosing to do her time in smaller movies. That might help with scheduling when you're doing like Star Wars, I imagine, shoots for like 7 to 8 months, especially once you get in training and all that. But she's still shooting other movies. Oscar Isaac's been plenty busy. I don't know.
Well, Oscar Isaacs is just trying to make us forget that he was Apocalypse. That's a full-time job for him.
That's not his fault.
I forget that all the time. He was in so much makeup, I've completely forgotten until you said that.
Sometimes I think I played Apocalypse in that movie, and then I'm like, no, wait, that's actually Oscar Isaac.
I mean, look,
you like Oscar Isaac?
No.
Like, John Boyega is doing plenty of work, too. Like, they're busy, is my point.
So there's no reason why you can't do both.
It certainly could be Tom Holland, but I honestly, Ryan, when you were saying that, I thought you were going to say Robert Downey Jr.
That's actually where I thought you were going.
That would be amazing!
Yeah. Give me that. I don't even know what that would look like.
I don't care.
It would look like Iron Man with a lightsaber.
Can you imagine?
I want it.
If we went back and what if they did the Darth Revan storyline, and then you just like he turns around and reveal... Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
I had seen Brie Larson suggested
as somebody
looking at
Settle down.
I actually think Brie Larson would be a great choice because she has the levity that Star Wars needs. That the Star Wars, the greatest Star Wars movies have that levity as well as the like intense action and stuff.
That's true. But we don't want Jar Jar level levity. So I think you're right.
No,
by the way,
but you don't want them to bring back Jar Jar?
Well, not yet.
What?
Look, Jar Jar Binks' Star Wars story is coming soon.
Darth Jar Jar was the greatest not used story ever made.
Still time.
If you look at A New Hope, like if you look at even Empire, which is pretty dark, Return of the Jedi, which people start to debate at Return of the Jedi, but.
Well, it's the best Star Wars movie. That's besides the point. But there's plenty of jokes in all three. The original trilogy has the right mix.
Look at R2. R2 is the silliest, like, little machine that goes around causing trouble.
He's beloved, though.
Yeah.
But beloved?
But that's what I'm saying, is that, like, good Star Wars movies have all of that fun and that levity, and I think Brie Larson brings that. I think Captain Marvel absolutely shows that. You can argue whether that was the right take for the character of Carol Danvers, but she has that comedy timing and that ability that you would need for a Star Wars role.
Good Star Wars movies have comedy in it. Bad Star Wars movies have Hayden Christensen.
But, anyway... Back to Star Wars. And I totally forgot to do in the intro, I was going to say we're coming live from a galaxy far, far away.
We are. Well, that's how far away it is. We didn't make the jump to light speed until right now.
No, we didn't. But...
We just got there.
What's happening?
Sorry, I was just having some Star Wars music for you.
Jumping into light speed,
that's
guys.
Star Wars music?
That's very much a knockoff of Star Wars music.
Is that like free library Star Wars music?
Cut that stuff out.
Yeah, play the Avengers theme.
No, we can't get sued. We don't have the,
we'll do a knockoff version.
We don't have the legal budget.
We'll change a few notes.
We do
so. Back to Kevin Feige and the issue at hand. So obviously, this was just like one quote that got dropped, and there was like very little like.
Yeah.
So everyone's asking a bunch of questions. So like the big ones that we can clarify. No, Kevin Feige is not taking over Star Wars. Kathleen Kennedy's contract was just renewed a year ago. Disney has made it clear that they have all the faith in her. I personally have faith in her. I think she's done great things with Lucasfilm. I'm hoping that Lucasfilm is also diverging into not just Star Wars. They are going to be bringing back some of their other properties. I don't know if we need Indy 5, but it's happening.
No, but there's talk of Willow and even a possible Labyrinth. Labyrinth. Let me just difference of opinion in the chat from a user whose screen name I like, Pocket Rocket Raccoon. Good news is Kevin Feige is going to Star Wars, but bad news is Kathleen Kennedy is going to Marvel.
That's
not true. true.
Well, I know, but I thought it was
a good concept. No, but we're a news show, and we have to clarify that.
Well, no, you just said it wasn't true, but I liked that that take on it, though.
And I liked that, too, because I just had those sentiments right before the show. She is not my favorite.
Well, but she did, and as I said before the show, Rogue One is the Star Wars movie that you seem to like a lot. So
it's the only one.
That's under her tenure. So, but she's not. She's had
you can
her.
You can disagree with like whether you've liked the direction that the Star Wars things have come, but like you can't argue with the things that Kathleen Kennedy has produced in her lifetime, and her body of work, I think, speaks for itself.
That's fine, but I'm just not a fan.
All right. I guess you hate Jurassic Park.
Oh, I mean, Jurassic World's garbage, but I don't think we have time for that.
But Kathleen Kennedy did not produce Jurassic World. She produced Jurassic Park. Anyway, all of that aside, Kevin Feige is making a Star Wars movie. Developing a Star Wars movie. And I'm excited to see whatever it is.
Yeah. I think
I'm going to watch it.
I think that they're very cautious about just taking him fully away from Marvel. You know, I mean, this is a Star Wars movie. Let's see where it goes. So
yeah, let's see what happens. Should we jump over to some Spideyland news?
Let's talk Spidey.
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of talk about Spider-Man. There's different rumors about what's going to happen with the deals. We could go into all that. We're not going to because it's a waste of time because it's all speculation. And any news outlet that tells you that they have the answer is lying to you. I personally like the rumor that Sony's going to get sold to Apple. I think that's...
I did see that one, yeah.
Well, here's the thing on that. If Sony was to sell Sony Pictures, which is all their TV and movie stuff, is under Sony Pictures, to Apple, which is a rumor because Apple is trying to build like a library so they can fill out their subscription
service. Because they have
service.
Nine shows right now.
And if they buy... I didn't even know they had nine.
Yeah. Jason Momoa was blind, Snoopy's in space, and a few others.
I'd only heard about three.
Yeah.
But if they bought Sony, the rights for Spider-Man immediately revert back to Marvel, a.k.a. Disney, because of the way the deal is structured. Sony cannot sell itself or the Spider-Man rights without Marvel getting the rights back.
Right, and do you want to buy Sony if you don't get Spider-Man?
They have a much bigger library. So for Apple, you get stuff like Breaking Bad.
Sure.
It's part of the Sony package. Yeah. And if you're trying to build a streaming service, having something like Breaking Bad does fill out your profile. And obviously Sony has a lot more movies than just the Spider-Man
stuff. You mean they did other stuff?
But you know what Sony does have, at least for now? They got a website put together, you guys.
They sure do.
TheDailyBugle.net.
I love this.
Is no longer an empty web page. Oh. It's now, there it is. It's fully functioning, little like mini blog.
And my favorite is the headline that I assume some of you are seeing: Night Monkey, Foreign Hero, or Yet Another Masked Menace.
I just love that this world like completely bought into the nightmare. It has like that article. They have an article for that too. If you click on it, it's not just a landing page.
Oh, so,
like,
yeah, they look have at a that. Quote. I actually didn't even realize it was a full. Yep,
they have a quote from Ned Leeds.
Yeah,
in there go. Where That's it's true. Look, it's not. The most in, but it's not the best in universe thing. It works.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
a little too connected to Pete's life for it to, you know, because like you have Andre Wilson, the gym coach from Peter's school, gives a quote, and you have Roger Harrington, is Peter's teacher who goes on the trip, like basically just recounts the story of his wife with the blip blog. This is the one fun thing though is the internet freaked out. Over the last few days, because there's one in this blip blog that's like people's stories about the blip, and there's one that's like supposedly about a stunt man who was in mid stunt when he blipped, and he came back and like he fell and he's in the hospital now, and the internet was like, that's not what Feige said happened. They said that Hulk fixed everyone and everyone was safe, and it's like. No, he said he saved people who were like in planes and stuff. Like Hulk has a big mind. Especially Smart Hulk, but he's not thinking about stuntmen,
right? Yeah. Or people that were like mid-step down the stairs and they come back and they're like, "Oh,
You know? I mean, look, you can think of like, oh, I put everyone back in a safe way, but like somebody's gonna stumble and break an ankle, but Even, but after all that
can
controversy,
they sue Smart Hulk? By the way, for you know what, I wouldn't have broken this ankle if it weren't for you, Smart Hulk. I would have been dead.
You'd have to. But is Smart Hulk one person that he can sue, or is he two people? Is it double jeopardy to sue Smart Hulk because he's two people?
Well, I would get Nelson and Murdoch to represent me in that case.
Oh, nice. Good call.
I'd call Jennifer Walters.
Conflict of interest.
That's a fair point. Yeah. But that's why you get her.
It's true. Good point.
She knows the way around.
The stuntman.
They updated it because the internet freaked out, and they added in a thing where it's like, oh no, he didn't actually blip. It was a lie.
Yeah, it was. He was faking a situation as a way to claim insurance money. His name was posted on the local docket this week after being arrested for insurance fraud and sentenced to months in prison. Very nonspecific. So yes, yeah. Jack Tricone, age 47, stuntman from the blip blog at the Daily Bugle.
He's in prison now for a few months.
But yeah, check it out. There's another fun video that clearly shot at the same time as they shot the piece of the movie with J. Jonah Jameson.
I'm so happy he's back.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens now. I was hoping that he could like pop up in other movies to like yell about heroes and things.
Well, he could show up in Morbius and another project we're going to talk about. You know, he could be in Venom 2. You know, we could see Jonah around.
But that's not what I want.
Well, let's just put him everywhere.
Yeah. I want him to yell at Ant-Man because he's like similar.
That would actually be really funny.
He only hates bug superheroes.
Yes. He's like the Wasp. The hell is that? Oh, I would love it.
He's trying to sting me. I'm allergic. You can see it. It writes itself. But as Christian just alluded, so check out the website. It's fun.
It's definitely a lot of fun.
It's a fun 5 minutes of your time.
Yeah.
But another breaking story over at Sony is that they are supposedly developing a Madam Web feature, because Sony is just like, okay, what are the deepest cut characters that we can possibly pull from to fill out our Sony Spider-Man verse?
And I'm still waiting on my Paste Pop Pete movie. I don't know how many times I have to ask for it. So that
I told you they brought him up in a recent comic. They're sowing seeds.
Yeah, that's great. As soon as we get him,
he popped up in a Gwenpool story.
What?
Like, he's a Gwenpool villain now.
He should be.
Oh, that's great. I remember this character. It took me a minute of you pulling up the pictures and me saying. Right. And be why does that look so familiar?
Because she showed up on the 90s animated series. And she first showed up in the very early 80s. And she wasn't like a tremendously popular character. By the time I was reading comics in more like the mid 80s, she wasn't even around. It was only after the fact that I was like, who's this old lady in the chair? But I guess, Zach, you were mentioning they've used her more recently, and there are several incarnations of her, right?
There are several incarnations. The base story, she's a mutant, which puts her rights into an interesting gray area.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I think she's been enough of a part of Spider-Man that she falls into that dual usage thing. If Marvel was like, well, we gotta use Madam Web, they could. But they're not going to.
Right, because why is Sony?
But she's psychic, and she has some kind of connection. I haven't read enough of Madam Woman. I didn't have enough time to, because this was literally breaking the day.
Yeah.
To like go read these issues. But she is connected to the web of life.
Yes.
Through her psychic ability. So I feel like if they're developing Madam Web as a story, this is Sony's attempt to bring the live-action Spider-Man universe and the animated Spider-Verse stories, and not to mention the MCU versus the Venom universe, all into one harmonious little interconnected web. Ha.
Nice.
What do you guys think of that? Do you need this movie? Do you want to see this movie? We don't know. This is a smaller character. They could just take the base of this character and run with it.
Right. Well, and then it could definitely turn into something else. But I don't really care. I'm gonna watch it.
I mean, I don't need it. It's intriguing. And what you'd like to hear with something like this is, oh, major director or screenwriter you've all heard of, this was a passion project for them. They're fascinated by the character, and they have, you know, you kind of want to hear something like that. That'll make it seem more intriguing. Of course, if it's in the Spider-Man universe, I'm going to see it. But Excited would not be the word I would use. Yeah. It's intriguing for sure.
And it sounds like... this is an interesting note. It's going to be written by... We don't know any of the other deals, but apparently it's going to be written by Burke Sharpless and Matt Sazama,
right,
who are currently writing Morbius.
Right.
So that says two things to me. One, Sony is happy with Morbius and how it's turning out.
That makes me excited.
So like the fact that they're willing to put these guys on another movie means that they don't hate what they got. Which, from Morbius.
I'm definitely, honestly, much more excited about Morbius just because it's kind of right in my wheelhouse, whereas Madame Web, it's like, okay. But if that's really good and Madame Web comes out after it, I'm definitely going to be more excited to see it. If you see Morbius and you're like, oh, this is great. I really enjoyed what they did with this then.
And who knows? Same screenwriters, maybe it gets set up in some way in the Morbius movie.
Where you actually are like, oh, now I'm interested. Yeah, now I want to see where this goes. I want to see this story. So as far as that goes, we just have to wait and see. I am excited for Morbius, though, because it's a vampire.
Well, because I was curious, I looked it up. The release date for Morbius is July 31st, 2020. So.
Oh, that's not that far away.
So it's less than a year. So yeah.
That's exciting. And I just want to see Matt Smith and more things.
So does Matt Smith.
Start tweeting out there, Matt Smith. Get you some roles.
I mean, look, it's... look, they're releasing it in the middle of July.
Yeah.
They want to work with these writers again. Maybe it's not. I'm so hesitant about Morbius because I just don't know why we're getting it.
I don't care. Vampire, I'm in.
If it wasn't Jared Leto, would you feel better?
Yeah, that's a good question.
If Jared Leto had never played the Joker. This was like after Dallas Buyers Club. And this was his next thing.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. He's done so many good things, and the Joker has soured him for everyone. But
it wasn't the role of the Joker that soured me on Jared Leto. It was everything around, everything I know about what he was doing behind the scenes that soured me.
Oh, I heard.
If you give one bad performance on a movie, I'm not going to discount you or forget that you did other good things. But if you treat the people that you're working with like crap, which by and large is what the rumors have all suggested about Jared Leto's time on Suicide Squad, then I don't want to see anything that you're in.
Well,
he didn't refute. Remind you, he did not refute any of the stuff.
I don't want to. I don't want to work on a set with him. I don't want to work on a set with Christian Bale either.
Nope.
You know, but I sure want to see a movie with him in it. You know,
truth. All right.
Let me just get from the chat, Senor Nerd. If this movie is happening, parentheses spoilers, it won't. Thank you, Senor Nerd. Who do you see as Madame Web? Off the top of my head, Helen Mirren.
That's what I was gonna say.
Oh, come on, stop reading my mind.
She's so great. If she was Madame Web, I'd be more excited. I'd be like, all right, okay.
Well, whoever if this movie were to happen, Senor Nerd.
Did you see her in Hobbs and Shaw? I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, I've
neither seen Hobbs nor Shaw.
We would have to move quickly on this. Cloris Leachman.
Okay.
I mean, you're going to go with
I don't know if she can lead a movie anymore, but like if Madame Web was going to pop up in Spider-Man, like in another if Spider-Verse was going to have Madame Web pop up in there, 100% should be Cloris Leachman.
Okay, absolutely. I don't hate that idea.
I would love that.
That's great.
That's my only pitch for the role. Although Cloris Leachman has earned a starring device in 2019, if we could give her a starring role in a major like blockbuster movie, beautiful.
Gamer Girl's thrown out Emma Thompson, so that's another.
I like that too. Yeah.
So obviously, British ladies of a certain age—that's who we're looking at.
Ooh, or the actress who played McGonagall in Harry Potter.
Well, you've painted yourself into a corner now because you don't know who that is, and neither do I.
I can't remember her name. It's just escaping me right now.
That's Maggie Smith.
Thank you, Maggie Smith.
Maggie Smith
would be good, too.
She'd be great. Yeah.
What about Dame Judi Dench? Is she too old now?
No.
All right.
Mm-mm. Definitely not.
Good. Absolutely See, that's, not. So, all right, let's After. Just list all the British actresses over 50.
Yeah, so that anyway, that's Madam Web. Do you guys have any other thoughts on this potential movie?
Just, not really.
Yeah, there's not here's a lot the thing. To say.
Casting would make me more excited one way or the other, or more or less. But sure. If they cast somebody and I'm like, you know what, I'd really like to see them in, even though it's not going to be a Spider-Man movie, I'd like to see this actress take on something in the Spider-Man universe.
The only positive thing I see about this one, because this feels like really Sony like digging, is if somebody was like looking at this character and the fact that it is a fairly bare bones character, especially to a wide audience, and saying, well, I could take this and here's a completely unique spin on the character that lets us do something we've never done before in this kind of genre. That's the movie, I think, that the only way that it warrants something like a Madam Web movie is if it's some crazy idea that is not just like us, another superhero. So not what they did with Venom, which was like, here's a basic superhero story that has like big budget and is fun, and it's not the best thing, it's not the worst thing. Madam Web needs to be the biggest swing toward, like, biggest creative swing for it to be worth making.
I agree.
Anyway, let's some real quick note on Disney Plus news. Because I've seen a lot of different reports on like what's coming out on Disney Plus and when and what you're going to get and what you're not. So like, you may have read some stories about the Disney Plus tests that have started to go on I want to say Norway,
the Netherlands,
the Netherlands.
And I was going to say
somewhere in Europe,
somewhere where they love ABBA.
Somewhere in Europe is getting a test, and people did a like an exhaustive like, here's all the stuff that's in that library, and like, so that's what's going to be on Disney Plus. That's not the case. So I want to dispel, like, get you prepared, because that they had most of the Marvel Cinematic Universe on there,
which we're
and
not
you
get.
Need to be ready that that's not going to be the case for the
not
first
right
probably
away.
Year of Disney Plus, at least for 2019, most of 2020. These are the movies that you're getting on Disney Plus in the United States.
Right, because the rights are completely different. If you log into your Netflix account in the UK, you're going to see, not a completely, but you'll see a very different library. Some things that are here aren't there, and vice versa. So just because it's whatever country it is, it doesn't mean it's going to be here.
So a reminder that day one of Disney Plus, you're going to have the original Iron Man, Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World.
I'm going to watch both of them, all three.
And Captain Marvel. And then in December, you'll get Endgame.
All right.
Sometime in December. And then next year, a lot of those rights start coming back, and you'll be able to watch all those.
Well, because the ones that we're getting, I think, Infinity War, Ragnarok, and what was the other one? I know
Ant-Man,
we're getting
the
Ant-Man and the Wasp. And those are all on Netflix still.
Yes.
So they clearly still have the rights, and then when they... that contract is up, then we can finally get that on Disney Plus.
Exactly.
I am excited.
And a few others. Obviously, Iron Man 2 has its distribution rights with cable and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's just complicated.
Well, as we talked about last week, that's fine with me.
Because you catch it sometimes on TV.
That's fine. No, I'm fine.
You're like, it's great.
Yeah, I don't need to watch it again.
I like Iron Man 2. It's not the best. I enjoy it. It's fun. Anyway, but what you will get on Disney Plus, so let's go to the positives.
Yes.
Apparently, you're going to be able to get a lot of, maybe not all of, but a lot of the bonus features and deleted scenes that you get on Blu-rays, at least for the Marvel movies. I don't know how much that's going to be true for all the like Pixar movies, Disney animated features, Star Wars movies, but I assume it's going to be probably similar across all of their brands.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm into that. I like
that. Yeah, I always like that that additional content.
I hope that we get it for the shows too, like the Disney Plus shows.
Oh, like behind the scenes featurettes and things.
At the end of episode 6 or the end of episode 8 or however long they are, they give us a little something extra at the end. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun. I always like that stuff. It's
yeah, cool you know too. What I'd like for those series, now that you put that idea in my head, is a creator or director commentaries or things, you know, alternate audio tracks. Why not? It's their show, and they might as well start doing stuff like that.
And they're
that.
Not going to be particularly long, so it's going to be, you know, 6 to 8 episodes. That is 6 to 8 hours. That is like making 3 or 4 movies, but it's still not, you know, you're not looking at 23 episodes of, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that. So I think it's doable.
Yeah. Well, speaking of television, I think... it's Marvel TV time here on Marvel Movie News.
Marvel Movie News. We're talking TV time. I want to learn how to play that so that I can come on and play it live.
Do it.
It's a great plan.
The big TV news this week dropped. Was that yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Yesterday was a scary day for Marvel fans. Ghost Rider is being sent back to hell by Hulu. In case my metaphor wasn't clear, Ghost Rider has been canceled by Hulu over creative differences.
That sucks.
Well,
I'm bummed about that.
Looks like the Spirit of Vengeance wanted too many points on the back end. So, you know, he's going to have to sign with a new agency.
No word exactly on what the specifics were that caused the fallout. There usually aren't. That stuff usually doesn't reach the public.
Right.
But Hulu, I guess, just decided it wasn't the show that they wanted it to be. And Gabriel Luna, who would have played Robbie Reyes. Did make a comment that it was pretty standard Hollywood canceled my project soundbite, which is basically like, look, this sucks, but you always have to know that it's not in Hollywood, it's not a thing until you're there doing it. And even then, the next day, you might get canceled anyway.
How bummed do you think he has to be, though? He finally gets his own show after, like, one successful season or a half a season.
It was like a third of a season.
Well, he even made the point, he's like, I'm going to be busy anyway. I got this little movie to promote, Terminator. He is playing the new Terminator. So that he's cool. He's doing okay. But it does have to be super disappointing because, like, this was he tweets about, like, Ghost Rider all the time. You know, it's a role that he enjoyed, that he cared about, and he was happy to, he was excited to go back to. This one's super disappointing to me. Because this is, I love that portrayal of Ghost Rider. I love the Robbie Reyes character. I thought Gabriel Luna nailed it when they did it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And frankly, it was, of the live-action Hulu shows that they'd announced, it was the one that I was excited for.
Well, I think it's also the one that people know the most. I think it's very interesting that, you know, apparently Hulu is still very happy with Hellstrom, which is great. We're still going to get that.
So that's the other news, is that Hulu put out... the context there is Hulu has stayed... the new rumor today is that Hulu is happy with Hellstrom, and they are moving forward with it, despite the fact that Ghost Rider's canceled.
Which is very interesting, because it seems like if you want to make a show work, the show that you'd want to make work is Ghost Rider, because people know that character, people are familiar, they want to see that. Nobody knows, and I'm still excited to see Hellstrom, just because that's very much in my wheelhouse. I love the idea of that show, and doing a bit of a deep dive on the character, I was like, yeah, I totally want to see this, and I want to see this live action. But I think for a lot of people, they're like, who the hell is Hellstrom? What is this? And it doesn't carry, I think, the interest or the numbers that Ghost Rider would have.
It definitely doesn't. So nobody really, other than Marvel fans, nobody really knows who Damien Hellstrom or Lydia Hellstrom are. Who are these people? They're not going to drive in outside traffic the way that if you put Ghost Rider on a billboard, everyone's perking up. It's the reason that Venom did really well and why I still predict that Morbius won't. Because worldwide people know who Venom is.
Absolutely.
And it has nothing, that's the thing, a lot of times worldwide box office stuff has nothing to do with whether people like the movie necessarily. It has to be at least decent, but the recognition for these kinds of big name characters, people are familiar with Venom. There are just Venom shirts sold around the world constantly.
Right.
Nobody knows who Morbius is.
And I totally get that. That's one of those one-off shows that weirdos like me, or movies that weirdos like me are like, interesting, I want to watch.
Well, but do you think that Hellstrom can creatively be interesting enough to draw in those crowds?
Yeah, but there has to be enough buzz around it that people talk about it. Like, it has to be good that enough people are really talking about it and being like, oh, this is a great character, this is a great show, you need to come watch this. We don't have any casting news on that, do we?
No,
I wonder if they're going to try to cast a name.
So what I've heard is, the rumor I've heard is that we're going to hear about Hellstrom casting by next week, which is New York Comic-Con.
Oh, I'm so excited. Now I want to know who they're casting.
Right, this
weekend?
And the draw for...
It's next weekend.
The thing about Hellstrom is that the difference with Morbius is you're trying to get people to spend their money directly to go see it in a theater. Hellstrom, it's like, well, do you want to get Hulu and all this other stuff? Yeah, we've got Hellstrom too. So I think that the appeal doesn't have to be... You know, you don't have to be as much of an attention grabber, you know, and being a TV series, I think, lends itself to that. But back to Ghost Rider, that's very disappointing. But I wonder, does this mean that we're much more likely to get, whether it's Johnny Blaze or Robbie Reyes or both, just back on the big screen now? You know, we're more likely to get a movie because this fell through. And, I mean, that was another, you know, we hear all these rumors and we don't usually spend that much time with them on the show. But I had heard a rumor that, you know, a Ghost Rider could have shown up in a movie. I heard that last week. So, you know, if that were to be true, that could also tie into all of this.
That could be cool. I would love to see whether it's Robbie Reyes or Johnny Blaze or forget it. We got to go in a different direction. You get all help me out here.
The other Ghost Rider?
The other guy.
Tell me about this other
my
Ghost
brain
Rider.
Wanted to say Ash Ketchum for a second.
Give me a live action of
Danny,
that, please.
Danny Ketch.
The other Ghost Rider. Is that what it is? Danny Ketch.
Which is not, so that's why my brain was like, Ash Ketchum. This is not right. Danny Ketch.
I want to watch Ash Ketchum.
But Danny Ketch, Ghost Rider. There's so many Ghost Riders, you guys. But you'd probably do Johnny Blaze or you do Robbie Reyes.
Right.
Yeah, I would say one of those two would be the ones that made the most sense.
I would still love to see Robbie Reyes do more because I think he showed his potential on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. So be a live action adaptation, whether it's big screen or small screen. Would you guys have... So assuming that if you're taking him to the big screen, you'd have to recast. Would you guys want to see Ghost Rider be completely redone, recast, like start over from zero?
Well, I can't say anything because I still haven't seen the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. of Gabriel Luna playing Robbie Reyes as Ghost Rider. So for me, I don't have any attachment to him other than the fact that I think he's very good looking, which is shallow. So I don't have any like other basis to go on.
But that's all you need is shallow basis.
Yeah, of course, I mean, as much
as I like him on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I could see them recasting him with a name so that you can, if you're going to do a movie, You're probably going to go with a bigger name than him.
But I would say after Terminator, Gabriel Luna is carrying enough weight. I was just going to say
Well, you talked about Matt Smith being in movies, and he was in a Terminator movie, and how much did it help him? So, let's see this Terminator movie first.
In fairness, he was in a Terminator movie for 3 minutes.
That's true.
Whereas Gabriel Luna is the primary
the
bad guy.
Yeah, that's true.
A little bit different.
Matt.
Well, let's see how much money they make.
But, I mean, for all I've heard, Terminator Dark Fate sounds like it's going to be really cool.
It does seem pretty cool. And, yeah, he'll be a bigger name from that, but I think that that doesn't mean that he's going to headline a Marvel-owned property. You know, he wouldn't... I don't think he'd be their first choice. I think that they would want to go out to someone with more name recognition.
Jason Momoa.
Well, he's too busy being blind on Apple. All right, he doesn't have time. He's on
Apple
Plus.
He's also Aquaman still. Like they are making that sequel.
Yeah, you know, we'll get to it.
He can play this first.
But it could. I could see if Blade goes really well.
Yeah, that's true.
Ghost Rider coming in, and you could just do Johnny Blaze. You start to build a Midnight Suns storyline.
Yeah, I think I would like to see that for sure.
And that's the bigger thing with the Hulu cancellation is with that going away. There's all those rumors that Hulu was going to make some kind of like a big crossover Defenders type show with these fear-based characters with Hellstrom and with Ghost Rider and then some other stuff that had been rumored. But that sort of goes, but that sort of all goes out the window once you drop your big draw to those series. And I start to wonder if Hulu just needs to stick with their animated stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a bigger topic than we have time for.
No, but I think that they have to really focus on that because there's so much focus on that animated. I mean, they've got so many resources tied up in what those five shows, if you factor in The Offenders, and yeah, they really need to make sure that they get it right. I wanted to get a couple things in from the chat before we run out of time.
Yeah, please.
Xeno Hour wants to pitch keeping Gabriel Luna as Robbie Reyes, who gets mentored by Johnny Blaze, played by Matthew McConaughey.
You had me until McConaughey.
He's a great actor. I just don't see him
as a Ghost Rider.
However,
I could, but Thunder God please. Says, I want to see Norman Reedus as Johnny Blaze.
Down.
Oh, I'd watch that.
That'd be amazing. As soon as he saw that, I was like, yeah. That'd be awesome.
I'd watch that. The mentor thing totally could work. We're getting to a point where, if you're going to do more Ghost Rider not this way, you're going to have to drop the canon from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, which you just might have to.
I mean, they feel. I'm pretty sure that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not canon in a lot of people's minds. I'm not saying that we want it to be that way. I do think that there are plenty of people who feel that way already.
I know it just, and I know that there's a lot of logical reasons why it should probably get dropped from canon.
Yeah,
but it just. I mean, it hurts me just, that it has just to be
one,
that way.
Just one reason Thanos never happened.
Oh, so. It hurts me personally on a deep level.
You go ahead. I don't even know what you saw.
Sorry, I just saw a chat. No, Jason Momoa is Sabretooth. What? I love that idea.
Jason Momoa is busy. He's going to be. I'm pretty sure that there's got to be like some kind of like no Marvel compete clause in his DC contract. I can't imagine like he can be in the DC universe.
Let him swim with his fishes.
Yeah.
He would be a great Sabretooth.
Just let him swim.
Just saying. God, I like that, Senior Nerd.
Yeah, and I think I also saw somewhere in here Keanu Reeves as Johnny Blaze. Yeah, that was Senior Nerd as well.
It was a 70s based. That was a very specific pitch. They wanted a 70s based Ghost Rider with
Look, he starts out as Evil Knievel, and like that's all you got to do.
Yeah,
I mean, that's true. He was already like Circus Johnny Blaze. Evil Knievel in Toy Story 4.
That's fair enough.
So he's already halfway there.
All right, guys. We are running down on our time. Any last thoughts on Ghost Rider cancellation? Here's my last question. Do you think there's a chance that this could be saved for television?
No.
I'm thinking no, yeah.
It wouldn't fit over at Disney Plus, so you can't imagine them doing that. If Hulu was the place that made sense.
Yeah.
And I liked that they had Ghost Rider and Hellstrom because it seemed like they were going for a very specific tone, a very specific corner of the Marvel Universe they wanted to focus on. I can't imagine it happening anywhere else. And it seems, you know, I mean, unless they repitch the whole thing and different creators are involved, I don't think it's impossible, but I would say it's very unlikely at this point. I'd say we're more likely to see Ghost Rider on the screen.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
I have to imagine that this probably came down to, like, to politics in the character, because that was the rumor that I heard that this was going to be a story on the border that would have brought Robbie Reyes to the Mexico-U.S. border and done a whole story. I mean, the story writes itself at that point with Spirits of Vengeance, like, dealing with that particular issue and everything that's going on in the real world right now. But I can totally see Disney balking at telling that story and that being something that a showrunner and a network can't come to terms on.
So I can see very clear differences of opinion on that, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And just a basic thing of like, well, we want this to be a political like show and character, and the network being, well, we don't. We want it to be a dark fear. Just you can allude to that stuff, but not as heavy. And you can't like really do it that way,
right?
And that's sad because I think that there was a great potential for a really interesting story to be told that way.
Yeah,
but we'll never know. We'll never know until we see. Until we get, as Spencer Straub puts it, until we get Moon Knight on Disney Plus, till we get Blade in the big screen MCU.
Oh, I'm so pumped for
we'll
that.
See how violent these shows can get. And then maybe we get to revisit Ghost Rider in a few years.
Maybe. Yeah.
Until then, thank you guys so much for joining us here on Marvel Movie News. I had a great time. I'm excited to be back, and I'm not going anywhere for a while, at least as far as I know. Who knows what the future may hold. Hey, Christian, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ and a whole host of shows over at AfterBuzz TV, our sister network. But last night, we did the season 23 premiere of South Park. So if you wanted 23? To check that. Yeah, exactly. If you want to check that out, the aforementioned Steph Sabra and I did that over at AfterBuzz TV.
Fantastic. And I am Zia Anderson, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zia_Land. It's XIA. That's how you spell it. And you can check out the other show that I do. It's Eric Nagel. That's also on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, guys. I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Also, be sure to check out my other podcast, Ships in the Night, which we just released our first scripted episode of this fan fiction nonsense, where you can get a whole 10-minute story of Hermione meeting Donatello. It gets real dirty. I'm warning you, it's dirty as hell, but that's the fun of a fan fiction podcast. That's called Ships in the Night. Until next time, guys. This has been Marvel Movie News. Thank you for geeking out with us.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.